Welcome to the Ivy Tech Podcast, powered by the MBA Tech Club here at the Ivy School of Business. I'm Sam Sim, MBA class of 2021. Today, we're talking about partnership management at Microsoft. Our guest is Manuel Cerruti. He's an MBA 2018 alumni and a partner development manager in Microsoft's Toronto office. You'll hear him talk about how he positioned his experience in the manufacturing industry to land a role in tech and how to land a software partnerships role at Microsoft right out of school. All right, let's get started. Hey, Manuel, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Sam, doing great. Thanks so much for the opportunity and looking forward to the interview.
And where do we find you today?
So I am, as many of my classmates are today, working from home. Both my wife and I have to share an office, whereas before it was just me working from home. And I'm based in Toronto.
Well, I want to start with a couple of questions that get to know what you were doing before Ivy. So can you tell us what you were doing before joining the program and what ultimately influenced you to pursue your MBA?
Yeah, so if I go back a few years before, right before starting the program, I actually moved to Canada to do my undergrad. So I went to UBC and studied chemical and biological engineering. So that's back in 2007. Finished that and moved to Calgary right away to start working in oil and gas. So I worked in an engineering company designing oil extraction, oil processing, oil transportation facilities. I quickly realized that I wasn't, engineering really wasn't what I wanted to do in the long term. And I really like working with people and being more client facing. So I moved to Toronto. That's in 2014, just when the prices of oil were falling, and started working for a clean tech company in sales and business development. So it was a great transition from, using what I had, the experience from working as an engineer in the field, designing, into being the person that is actually convincing and selling these, products and solutions to large industrial clients. I did that for about 3 years, so engineering 2 years, and sales for about 3 years. And then I realized that, there really weren't many career development opportunities at this company. And that kind of motivated me to kind of shuffle the deck of cards and do the MBA to, my hope was continue to do something similar, but for a larger company, for a larger brand. And that's kind of that was my main motivation to quit my job and then pursue the MBA at Ivy.
Can you tell us more about the process you went through to understand what you wanted to do post-MBA? I ask because the common story you often hear is someone goes into the MBA and they're looking to do consulting afterwards. And obviously, that's not what you ended up doing. So I'm curious, what steps did you take in order to figure out that tech was the right industry for you after graduating?
Yeah, I was one of the people that, did the MBA without a plan. So I know that it's highly recommended to have a plan, kind of know what you want to do before you do an MBA. In my case, I knew that I wanted to work in business development, perhaps in sales, but I didn't really have, a set company or a set position in mind. That ended up working out for me. During the MBA, I definitely was open to different options and, explore different careers in consulting, in, lots of operations consulting. At the end, I ended up going back to what I had in mind when I first applied and when I first went into Ivy. But through the process, I was definitely open to different industries and career opportunities.
And I think many MBAs join the program thinking they have a plan and then maybe partway through they discover they don't. You don't know what you don't know, right? When you get in, you think you maybe want to pursue one career and then you get your interest gets piqued by something else and you go down a rabbit hole. But nonetheless, I wanted to ask you, how did you ultimately decide that even Microsoft as a company was the right fit for you?
So it was really a discovery. Now that I'm at Microsoft and I've been with the company for about 2.5 years, I know that it's the right company for me, and I really liked it. I didn't really join knowing that in advance. I always really I've been passionate about technology. Maybe I didn't know it that much when I was in the program, but it was definitely something that I was really interested in, and I was reading a lot about it and had a deep interest about technology. I think once you know, now being at Microsoft and having my position, I really realized that that's something that I had before. I think I probably missed something in your question. So if maybe if you can repeat it so I can make sure that I'm answering that one.
Yeah, no problem at all. My question of how did you know it was the right role or industry for you? I think you really talked about it in your answer in that you can kind of be open to the opportunity in front of you. It doesn't necessarily have to be the perfect fit from the beginning.
Yeah, like 100%, right? Like you can't really know what you're getting into, especially when you're pursuing like just-in-time opportunities. It's just about talking to different people, talking to different companies, having different positions in mind. Maybe a useful framework would be, you know, there's a difference between client facing and sales type roles, and the type of activities and the type of skills that you need for that are different from a, you know, program management or a business operations or a finance role, which might be, you know, in the case of finance, much more specific. But besides, you know, if you don't have like a specific skill background or career that you want to pursue, and you are more, you know, open about different outcomes, and maybe you don't have like a very specific skill, which was my case, being open and being open to different roles, being open to different companies, I think is a right thing to do. I think also there is a balance, right? Like you shouldn't be trying to talk to every company and try to pursue roles in all of the different fields and industries, but you narrow it down a little bit, maybe not too much. You know, my main advice on that is just be very aggressive with your networking and, you know, reaching out to different people at different levels of the company. So maybe people that are a bit more junior and people that are, you know, senior and hiring managers. That's kind of why it worked out for me, just being consistent and reaching out to people and you know, being in many places at the right time eventually works out.
You brought up an interesting point about kind of this framework by thinking about roles in buckets, like your sales and your client facing, or maybe your program management. I want to come back to that a little bit later. But first, I do want to talk about how did you land your role at Microsoft? So you kind of alluded to it in that you did a lot of networking, but can you walk us through what were the steps you took to at least get to the interview stage?
Yeah, maybe before going into my own experience, I'll preface by saying that Microsoft basically hires people in two different ways. You are either hired through an MBA recruiting program, meaning that, you know, you just finished an MBA, perhaps you did an internship with Microsoft, perhaps you didn't. And then I know many people from Ivy have been hired that way. And, or, you know, the other option is that you have experience. So you've worked in technology or IT, perhaps, you know, you were working for one of our competitors or a company like Salesforce, and you can leverage that experience because, you know, it's required for a specific role. Maybe, you know, part of that bucket is if you have like specific industry experience. So if you've worked in, you know, manufacturing or oil and gas or healthcare, and better even so if you're part of like an IT team within those industries, that experience is really valuable, and you can actually land a job that is not an MBA role, but an experience role in Microsoft because of that. To talk about my experience, it was definitely a bit unconventional. So I wasn't recruited as part of the MBA program. I knew someone through networking. I knew a few people that were either at Microsoft through MBA roles, or were working at Microsoft as experienced people, but were originally from Ivy. And one of them was actually moving to LinkedIn, which is a company that Microsoft owns. I think, well, that was back in 2018. He was moving to a sales role in LinkedIn, and his role was opening up. So, you know, it was a great opportunity to, I knew him from before. He let me know about the role. We actually had a formal interview process where I think about maybe 20 or 30 people from Ivy went through the interview process. We had like two rounds and I ended up landing the job. I think maybe the other thing to include is that, you know, once I was in the company, I actually worked with my manager to transition from my current role into the MBA program. So within a year, you could say I was rehired to be part of the MBA program. And the reason why I did it is because it opened up different opportunities for career development, for networking, for training, and just being part of that program, which definitely has a benefit in the longer term your career.
You said that there were two rounds of interviews, and I'm just curious what kind of questions they asked you, or was there an assignment or project of some sort? What could someone expect if they were trying to interview for a role similar to yours?
So maybe I'll preface by saying that if you're applying to an MBA role, the interview process is different. So, you know, from what I've heard, because I didn't do it, there it's much more formal, and there's, you know, you need to prepare a business case and things like that. So I would recommend reaching out to someone that was hired to the MBA program. In my case, it was mostly a behavioral interview. So, you know, questions about why Microsoft, tell me what you think is exciting or interesting about what Microsoft is doing. What are the products that you think, you know, we should prioritize? One of the big problems we have at Microsoft is that we have a huge opportunity of businesses that are, you know, going through their digital transformation, especially in the small, medium business space. So one of the questions was, how would you approach that vast opportunity and that vast pipeline to prioritize the ones that matter, which is actually what I do today in my role. Maybe like, why, you know, why should we hire you? So very like broad, kind of like behavioral type interview questions.
And what would you say were the top skills that Microsoft valued in new partner development manager hires? You described a couple of the questions that you were asked, and I can kind of get a sense of what they're looking for. But I'm curious from your perspective, because you're in the company, what type of person are they looking for a partnerships role?
So maybe I would start by kind of, maybe you're going to ask this later, but should I explain like the role and that, or is that like a later question?
Oh yeah, sure. We can talk about that. We can talk about what is a partner development manager? I think a lot of people would be curious to hear what that role entails.
Yeah, that's a good place to start. So the way that I think about my role is that, you know, Microsoft sells to about 95% or 95% of our revenue is actually sold through partners. You know, before you understand the PDM or partner dev manager role, having that mind frame of like how important that ecosystem is really matters. And then you think about how do we sell, you know, how do we generate that 95% of our revenue, and it's through distributors. So companies that resell our software, companies that install or modify our software. So companies like Accenture or Deloitte or Avanade, Tata Consulting are basically implementing and changing and making products out of our software. And then I work with software development companies, so tech companies or SaaS companies that are basically building their own products in our cloud, so in Azure. So those are like the three main type of partners. And my team and my organization manages basically the relationship that Microsoft has with those clients. That, sure, they're clients, but more importantly, they're our partners and the way we actually go to market. The partner, you know, dev manager role is basically an account management type role. So you're the face of Microsoft for these partners. I think the role could be very different depending on what kind of partner you're managing. So for example, someone that is managing the relationship with a distributor has a different type of role and different skill sets required than someone that is managing their relationship with a new and born in the cloud software company. That just the type of conversations, the type of knowledge, interests are a bit different. So I always like, you know, when someone asks me about a PDM role, I always like saying that it comes in different type of flavors. But maybe the thing that is common throughout the PDM role is that, you know, you're client facing, you need to be able to engage with executives in large organizations that are decision makers. You need to be able to influence their decisions. So, you know, a partner has to decide between how much are they going to invest in Microsoft versus one of our competitors. So, you know, how do you convince them to double down in the work they're doing with you is definitely a critical skill. And definitely also being that person that is driving the innovation and technology adoption. So, to give you an example, many of my clients and partners, they are building solutions in the cloud, right? They're migrating to the cloud. They are using the cloud. One of the things that I have to do is convincing them of why they should really leverage the advantage of using the cloud beyond just using virtual machines. So how do they really take advantage of the innovation and the technology that we're delivering through Azure at a level that is more sophisticated? So I think that's kind of like the main skills and how the role is like.
And what does success mean in your role? I'm curious, for a PDM, do they have a quota? They have to be able to get their partners to successfully onboard with X amount of Microsoft software or products each year? Or how are you goaled in your role?
It depends a little bit. I would say that most PDMs have some sort of quota, like you were saying, like amount of software or cloud utilization that a partner should be driving. And that's a mutually agreed, you know, quota decided by Microsoft and your manager and all of that. Maybe my role is a bit different because I'm working with, you know, new software companies, startups that are usually not our clients, that are usually not using any Microsoft products. So it's more about convincing new clients or like winning new, you know, companies that are not doing anything with us, right? And starting from scratch, onboarding them to become partners, right? So getting them through the process of building a solution and then going to market together with their solution.
You've mentioned a couple of times that there are many different types of partners that Microsoft deals with. And as a PDM, you can get many different flavors in the role, depending on who your partners are, or your customers are. So I'm curious, how do they decide which partners you get? Is it based on your prior experience, or is it just based on need at the moment?
I would say it's both. So if they're looking to hire someone that will be working, for example, with our, you know, telco partners, they would probably want to hire someone that has previous telco experience. If they are looking to hire someone, for example, in the team that manages software companies, definitely bringing experience that is relevant to, you know, working with SaaS companies is relevant. But I think at the end of the day, there are commonalities in the type of skills and, you know, competencies that the teams are looking for. And then the decision really ends up being based on need. You know, what team is growing, what team is hiring. So it's a mix of both, really.
That goes back to what you were saying earlier about the many different ways of getting into Microsoft. One being the MBA program roles, and the other being someone that just has experience in the industry that role is serving or selling into. I've heard that institutional knowledge is so valuable that a lot of times it can help set you apart from other candidates.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you know, like if you're working for a tech or a software company, sure, like a big part of it is like product and you know, the actual technology. But the biggest part of it is how do you position a product to a specific industry or specific position within a company. So I wouldn't be surprised if the type of roles that are growing the most in Microsoft are roles that are people that have industry expertise, people that have, you know how to speak the language of like a manufacturing company. Then that's, to be honest, that's also how I tried to position myself when I was interviewing for my role.
And on that, I did want to ask, what was it like to transition into a company like Microsoft, into a technology company from a manufacturing background? How was that experience? And I'm curious if anything surprised you about that change.
Yeah, definitely a couple of things surprised me. But I think the main one is, I mean, the culture and the type of company that Microsoft is, was definitely a big change. I wasn't really used to, you know, working for a company that, you know, really invested so much in you and invested so much in your growth, you know, was really a platform where you could really have impact in different ways, not only in your job, but also in other areas that you're interested in. I'm sure many manufacturing companies have that kind of culture and that benefit. I just didn't really have it before. So that was a change. Another change is, as you know, from being in technology, like the volume of information and the volume of change is difficult to manage. So, you know, I know we all say that we can work in demanding environments and you know, are good at prioritizing, but that's something that, that definitely you need to have if you're trying to land a job in technology. How do you manage the volume and how do you prioritize? 100 things that I could be working on today. So finding the five that I should really spend time on is something that I didn't really have to do when I was working in my previous roles as an engineer or in manufacturing, where you had like a very specific thing to do for the day. So now it's, you know, how do you have that autonomy to decide this is what matters? And no one is really going to tell you, like, work on this. You're going to have to decide in many ways and then explain to your manager. He's like, hey, this is why I'm working on this. This is the impact that I'm hoping to drive on this initiative or client. Yeah, and then in terms of change, you know, like products, innovation, things are changing really fast. You know, that's one of the reasons why at Microsoft, all of our documentation, or you could think of it as kind of like the old school manuals of products, they are open source in the way that you can actually go to our documentation site and change things. And we, you know, we use, you know, GitHub to send that change request to the engineering team that gets it approved, because there isn't really another way. Like we can't really keep track of everything that is changing from, you know, a programs and a product point of view. So the pace of change is definitely something that is very unique to this industry.
One of my coworkers used to say, if you just stand still for a quarter, everything will have changed around you. And so I think what you just described is exactly how a lot of people feel when they first join a tech company. I'm curious, because you mentioned Microsoft a couple of times, what is it like to work at Microsoft Canada in particular? I think a lot of people listening right now would be interested to know what it's like to be there internally.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's been since the very beginning like a great company, a company where you really see yourself long term. So you really you know, feel like, you know, you're not just planning your next year, but you're planning your next 5 years. You know, the answer would really depend on where you work and who you know, what team you're part of. You know, Microsoft Canada, I think there's about 700 to 1,000 people who work in Microsoft Canada. And for sure, you know, the culture in different teams is different, right? A team that is, you know, selling to our largest financial institutions, you know, has a dress code and has a culture that is different to the team that is selling to our startups. And the team that is, you know, managing our programs and our investments is different than our HR or finance teams. So there's definitely different experiences or different cultures within Microsoft Canada. And then there's things that are common where, you know, like everyone is encouraged to learn, for example, right? Like we have days that are reserved for, you know, for getting certified or learning about different things. Everyone is encouraged to make an impact. So, you know, your role has, you know, kind of like a description of this is what a PDM should be doing. But if you want to go and, you know, collaborate with a totally different team because you see there are synergies in working together, everyone is encouraged to do that. Yeah. And I think overall it's a very healthy company. So, you know, something that I appreciate way more now that when I was looking for a job and I was finishing Ivy is, you know, I thought that if I had a challenging job that required me to be traveling all the time and working with clients, like I was going to be happy. And that was kind of like what I was looking for, to be honest. But now, you know, being able to have like a healthy work-life balance and being able to manage my time and, you know, decide when to really, really work, you know, invest a lot in working and where I have to pause and focus on other things. That's really valuable. And I think that's something that many managers and roles at Microsoft have in common. And it's something that allows you to really think about the longer term with a company.
Does Microsoft's Canadian office have a specific focus in terms of the teams that are located there?
Yeah, the vast majority of opportunities would be in client-facing roles or account management or roles that are kind of like a product seller for an account. So I would say, I don't know how many, but maybe a guesstimate would be about 70% or 60% of roles are, you know, that kind of client facing role where you are managing an account and or selling a product to a specific account. Then there are roles that are more about managing our programs and investments. So I'm going to kind of like simplify it by saying that we have business groups roles that basically are more like strategy and marketing roles that decide where we should invest, where we should be investing to make kind of like a broad impact with our clients, and operations roles that are more about, you know, sales excellence, so monitoring and managing our sales, that are sometimes a bit more, you know, data driven roles. And, you know, sometimes have people that have MBA backgrounds that end up landing in those roles. And then you have, you know, roles like mine that are still client facing, but are managing partners as opposed to managing customers. Canada also have other offices that maybe are not super relevant to the MBA audience, but there's engineering offices and there's research offices that are based in Canada, and they wouldn't be part of Microsoft Canada, but they are Microsoft, you know, corporate roles that are based in Canada because we have those offices here.
Are there examples of new graduate roles you can name that would be helpful for MBAs to look out for? I'm thinking these could be role titles that MBAs could be setting LinkedIn alerts for to keep themselves in the loop for when they should apply.
Yeah, I would say, you know, like roles that sometimes, you know, roles are like sales roles. They might be disguised under the name of specialist. So if you look for, you know, it might be like a, you know, modern workplace specialist or a business application specialist or an Azure, which usually is data and AI or applications and infrastructure specialist. Those are sales roles that, you know, you're in charge of driving a product within an account. Account executive is another role that maybe is a bit more senior and usually requires a bit more experience, but I know MBAs are hired for that role. Another one could be, you know, an account technology strategist, so an ATS. That's another role that people with an MBA background tend to be a good fit for. What I would say is that it definitely helps for any of those roles to have, you know, relevant experience that you can actually leverage in the role. So, for example, you know, if you have an IT consulting background, an account technology strategist is a really good fit. A lot of the other roles that you might see, like anything that has an architect on the role, usually is a more technical role. Maybe another role is like a program management or a product marketing manager, a PMM. role, those would be the roles in our business group.
Before we leave, if you were to advise an MBA student who wants to land a role at a company like Microsoft in partnerships or in business development, what would you be doing right now to increase your chances of getting interviews or getting coffee chats or at least furthering your chances of getting that role in the new year?
I think that's a great question. And I think it's being good at reaching out and being tailored in your approach to reach out, definitely, you know, developing and crafting your brand on platforms like LinkedIn. So when someone sees a message from you, they're like, oh yeah, this person seems like they could be a good fit for Microsoft or for this specific role. So if it's something to do with financial services, like showing that interest in your profile definitely helps. I know some of my classmates, you know, wrote articles on LinkedIn talking about like things that they were interested in within technology. And I think we often say, you know, like, or I often say to myself, like, you know, I sometimes just get lucky, but you can't really get lucky if you are not out there, you know, reaching out to people, having coffee chats and then doing that consistently. Really pays off, and I've seen it with a lot of my classmates that landed, you know, great jobs at companies like Shopify or Uber, and they just did it because they were just consistently reaching out and being disciplined about having those conversations. And maybe when you do it, know why you're doing it, and have put some thought and some research time before your call, so you are. You know, maybe you have an ask in the call. It's like, hey, like I saw this role. What would you recommend me doing? I think that can really help as well.
And with that, I want to say thank you so much, Manuel, for sharing your journey with us today and the insights you've learned along the way. It's been very interesting.
Thank you so much, Sam. It was a pleasure chatting with you. And yeah, good luck to everyone in the class. And yeah, Microsoft and many of the tech companies are definitely a great place to have a career.
And that's a wrap on this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Special thanks to Jay Deverett and Mihir Radij, my fellow Tech Club execs. And thank you to our career management advisor, Patty Guzzo. And if you enjoyed this episode, feel free to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. We'll be back next week with another interview.